This service can be conducted inside or outside. Choose a place where you can be present without feeling self-conscious about being observed. During this service and practice, we will pay mindful attention to the idea of spiritual and faithful movement within and through our bodies by the use of music, scripture, and reflection. As you might have guessed from the name of this service, it involves some movement, walking. But I want to take a minute to note that if walking is not available to you as a movement, you have the option of using this service and applying it to another physical movement. More important than the actual walking is the act of spiritual journeying together. You are invited to go out for a walk or to remain seated in a comfortable position. Some may use a wheelchair over surfaces. Others might use stretching movements of arms, legs, and body. Any form of movement that is accessible to you is perfect. The goal here is to practice worshiping in a new way, a way that is engaging not just our minds, but our bodies as well. And now, when you are ready, I invite you to get up if you are seated, set out if you are standing, or center yourself if you're choosing to move in place. Let us begin our journey together. Let's get moving.
Loving God, just as you made yourself known to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, make your presence known to us here. Now, in this space, surprise us along the way as we embark on journeys toward you with each other. Amen.
What does it mean to walk with God? This is a question I have asked myself often during my faith journey. In fact, many individuals in the Holy Scriptures have also asked similar questions. Their lives are full of moments when they struggle, question, and talk to the Creator. Tonight, you're invited to go on a walk as a way of being present to creation and to God, whom we live and move and have our being. This might be a walk, like a literal walk, or it might be a walk that is more spiritual, non-moving, meditative. Either way, the idea is that we are moving our minds, our hearts, and our souls together. You do not have to physically be moving in order to walk with God. This walk will be about 30 minutes. We will then pause as a community to share with one another. However, if you are doing these on your own, you might find it helpful to include some journaling time or drawing afterwards in order to further reflect. Once you have the structure, you can make it as long as you like. Going on regular walks can be a really helpful practice, and being outside Moving our bodies can help with our mental health, especially during times of isolation and distancing. Walking is a word that is often used in the Christian world to imply journeying with one's community and with God to deepen relationships. So I would like you to concentrate on that kind of a walk. Many of us have been sitting in front of our computers for hours in different kinds of meetings, virtual classrooms, online social networks. But today I would like us to take a moment to take a deep breath. Stretch and continue the movement that we have decided to use during this worship journey. This is the moment where we can come together and experience God and community, not staring at our screen, taking a deep breath, looking outside and taking in our surroundings. And now I invite you to take a deep breath in. Now release and let it out. Let's do that one more time. Take a deep breath in. And release. As we begin, I invite you to take notice of your body. Notice how your weight sits on your shoulders, your hips, your knees, your feet. What do you need to adjust to lighten your weight? Notice your surroundings. What kind of ground are you in? How does that affect how you engage with your body? Notice if there is any wind, any rustling of the feet, any tiny animal scurrying about. Is the sun warming your skin? Is the moon out yet? Or are there clouds that have covered you? Is it dark? Notice the physical sensations in your body. Notice the emotional sensations that you might be experiencing. Notice the thoughts that come up as you journey through this meditation. Notice that God is present here with you. You are on holy ground. You can allow all these things around in you to be just as they are in this moment.
Tonight's reading is recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place that they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Here ends our reading.
You rose again. we continue on together, notice what you're feeling right now, both in your body and your spirit. You might be feeling comfortable, or you might be feeling uncomfortable. Take a moment to become aware of your posture. How are you holding yourself in this moment? Is there tension in any area? As you maintain a nice, steady rhythm, continue to be aware of your body and how it moves.
It's Easter Sunday. There are three witnesses to the empty tomb: Mary, Mary Magdalene, and Salome. So I felt only right to ask three people a question about promises. I asked my eldest daughter if she had ever made pinky swears. She said yes. And if anyone broke their pinky swear, you do what? I said. She said, you break their pinky. I asked my other daughter the same thing. She said, well, I usually am the one who broke the pinky swear, and I made sure that no one ever found out. My son said they call it pinky double kisses, because you link pinkies and then you seal it with a kiss. He said if you break a pinky swear, then they owe you money. Promises. How do you keep a promise? What happens when you break one? In this story, we hear the story of Jesus' resurrection. We hear the story of Jesus' promise. In verse 7, we hear the angel tell the three witnesses that they will see Jesus just as he told you. In the 8th chapter of Mark, verse 31, Jesus first tells his disciples that he will suffer. He also tells them that he will rise again, too. But all throughout Jesus' ministry, the disciples go through doubt, uncertainty, forgetfulness, and confusion. But all through his ministry, Jesus tells them the same thing, that he will die and that he will rise, a promise not to leave them, a promise to always love them, a promise that was never broken. And the consequence of that promise is love. Now let's listen to the whole text again.
From the Holy Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us to the entrance to the tomb?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who has been crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place that they laid him. But go. Tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Here ends our reading.
He reigns forever and ever. He reigns forever, our God. He reigns, he reigns forever and evermore. Thank you for all our sins.
As we move to conclude our time together, notice the difference in how you are feeling now and how you were feeling when we began our time together. How are you feeling now that you have moved your body? How are you feeling now that you have journeyed with God? How are you feeling now that you have journeyed in this new way with your community? Take a moment to become aware of your body and the space around you. How is it that you're holding yourself now? How is it that you have let yourself remain? As we go on to hear and reflect on the scripture for the final time, continue to be aware of the way your body holds.
I grew up in the 90s in the Pasadena and Los Angeles area. As a latchkey kid, I could often be found after school with other kids playing in the cul-de-sac and making bad choices. The kind that you make when you're 13 and not being supervised by any adult. Back then, there was a practice called the blood oath. This was when two people cut their palms, shook hands, and agreed to form an alliance, or swear to never tell a secret. I have made a blood oath with only one person. Do you know who? Well, it's Sunny. His name is Tony, and we were good friends for many years. And when he grew up, he became the brother-in-law of one Dr. Ruben Hughes. Now, I don't remember what the past was anymore, what the secret was that I was supposed to keep. We were preaching. But I do know that in that moment, we were both sincere about our agreement. We hadn't really thought it through, though, what it meant to literally share blood with another person, especially during a time of high amounts of HIV and AIDS cases. Do you ever make an agreement before thinking about any consequences that might come afterwards? Do you ever pinky swear before thinking about what a pinky swear means? Jesus was sent to us to send us to free us by overcoming death. Do you think Jesus ever thought about what consequences faced him in just simply promising resurrection? Or do you think that means the reward drastically outweighs the cost? Jesus' resurrection is a vitally important moment for many people. Jesus kept his promise to rise from the dead so that we truly believe that God keeps all promises. Jesus' resurrection also assures us that in Christ, a fully divine and fully human God lives among us and lives with us now. God is just not an idea or a hope or a dream. Resurrection, overcoming darkness and suffering and death, is not just an idea, a hope, or a dream. Resurrection is real. Being restored to not just life again, but life anew. That is something that is real. That is something that we can believe in. That is something that we can know will always happen. We just have to be there, like these three women, to witness it all in its glory. Let's listen to the scripture for a final time.
From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, They saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place that they laid him. But go. Tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Here ends our reading. I invite you to join me for prayer. Loving God, we thank you for these bodies, these temples that you breathed life into, and then charged us with the task of caring for, and all the other bodies that you created. Help us to notice you more in the trees, the rhythm of our feet on the ground, and the breath in our lungs. We give you thanks for this community that you have given us. Sustain us as we continue to navigate a world clouded by confusion, loss, and uncertainty. In your Son's name, we pray. Amen.